reading tonight comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7, verses 31 to 37. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went by the way of Sidon toward the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. They brought to him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him aside in private, away from the crowd, and put his fingers into his ears. And he spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one. But the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." Here ends our reading. This Lenten series, we have chosen to look at this year of our 80th anniversary and to reflect each week on a particular piece and what that might mean for us today. And so today's reflection is from the Gospel of Mark, our reading, because of this phrase that was used in our very beginnings, "So much more they published it." So much more they published it. This Bible verse is what we read in verse 36 at the end of today's passage, "the more zealously they proclaimed it." And this was the Bible verse that opened our charter membership roll on August 26, 1945. So much more they published it. That charter was signed by 16 adults and 6 children. So 22 people were the beginning of Christ the King Lutheran Church. So much more they published it. They used this theme again at the dedication of this very site for the church to be building, to be built on. Before the sermon, they sang "A Mighty Fortress." And then Pastor Leslie A.F. Carlson, who was the regional home mission director, preached with a theme, "So much more they published it." In our time, when we think of publishing, we might think of publishing an article in a newspaper or a magazine, in a widely distributed email, or we might publish a post on social media. But in Jesus' time, this written communication was rare because the majority of people were illiterate. And so there were these public heralds, these official government messengers that were sent as a representative of, most of the time, the king or the official, the top governmental person. So they were respected. They had authority. And the message that they heralded had a sense of urgency. And they would travel and herald and proclaim the message to crowds in different regions. Jesus' followers adopted this language to publish, to proclaim the good news, carrying this connotation of divine urgency and authority of Jesus. And so our reading tonight, we see this healing of this man who was deaf. The people were utterly astonished. They were over the top amazed at what Jesus had done. Our translation, "the more zealously they proclaimed it," the King James Version, where we hear this word "published," translates, "so much the more a great deal they published it." So the ones who started this congregation chose this passage as their theme. Why? I think they were over the top amazed at what God was doing. They couldn't help but proclaim, to publish. And publish in their time was not the same as publish in our time. It was word of mouth sharing. And so in their words, this is how they described that. "We rejoice over our newness because of the freshness of its spirit, which is so easily lost in old established churches." We have here the enthusiasm that of youth that results in progress, in growth for the kingdom of God on earth. We go forward in the ever new spirit of Christ to labor for him and to worship him who died for us that we might be reconciled to God. They continue. While summertime is normally considered slump time in church work, it is not seriously affecting the progress of the new congregation. On the contrary, it is a grand opportunity to plan for the future, to make beginnings for the work of the church, and to acquaint the Lutherans and the unchurched in the community with the church. Inherent in these words is the essence of how this spiritual home grew: relationship building and mutual transformation guided by the Holy Spirit. One of my favorite classes to teach for the seminary is missional evangelism, creativity in context. And in the class, I usually ask a question at some point, and I'm going to ask you that question tonight. Before I ask you the question, you're going to get your journals. You're going to see week one, and we just read the passage from week one. And if you turn to the next page, you'll find reflection. So you're very welcome to write your reflection in this space. And if you don't like my question, there are other questions on the opposite page that you can ponder instead. My question is this, and I want us to think for just 30 seconds. Tell me about a time in your life when you experienced the greatest sense of mission. Think about that for 30 seconds. A time in your life when you experienced the greatest sense of mission. Did you think of something? Yeah, a lot of you are shaking your head. If you haven't, you have time this week to ponder still. So I'll ask you a question, and you don't need to answer the question or raise your hand, but I wonder, I'm curious, how many of your stories occurred within a church building versus outside of a church building? So the question for us is, what divine action in our spiritual home stirs us in over-the-top amazement, and how can we proclaim and share this good news with others? We're entering a season of growth at our Memorial campus. We've seen the fruits here of 16 adults and 6 children who claimed so much more they published it. So I'm looking for those heralds, those proclaimers, those people excited for what the Holy Spirit is calling us toward to join me in exploring the community around our Memorial campus, meeting people, building relationships, listening to community needs, and discerning how we might participate in God's mission in that space where the Holy Spirit is already at work. Please prayerfully consider and tell me if you might be one of those heralds. I'll be waiting for you. I want to close tonight with a prayer that was created for the consecration of this land, which designated the land as sacred land on which to build this church. And so I have adapted it from future tense, since we have this already in our existence, into present tense, as to urge us with the Spirit to enact today. Grant, O Lord, that the house of worship to be erected on this consecrated land be built only to the praises and glory of Thee, and that it may be used to serve the spiritual needs of all. For the sake of our crucified Savior,
Amen.
And grant, O Lord, that all who shall worship here shall remain true to thee in their personal lives and in their hearts, and that they will constantly labor for the extension of thy kingdom among all, through our Lord and Savior, who suffered and died for us on Calvary's cross. Amen.